The Youth's Instructor, October 25, 1900. Words to the Youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Early piety ensures to its possessor the full enjoyment of all that makes life happy, and will give him a right to the future immortal life. Those who seek God early have the assurance that they shall find Him. Those who wait until the span of life is almost ended before they seek God lose a life of pure, elevated happiness, happiness that never comes in the pursuit of the pleasures that this life affords. Those who have been long acquainted with God, who from their youth have drawn their happiness from the pure fountain of heaven, are prepared to enter the family of God. Good and evil are set before the youth of today. They are left free to choose which they will. In yielding to Satan, they give up eternal happiness for pleasures which are vain and fleeting. That which he promises them, they never obtain, for the path of sin is a path of sorrow. The youth who fear God will make a conscientious use of their time. They will have firm reliance upon God, and will look to Him for help when exposed to temptations, which would lead them away from moral rectitude. Divine aid must combine with human effort, in order that the wily foe may be resisted. The youth who desire to become qualified for a life of usefulness must be able to resist temptation and battle against wrong. They must cultivate the mind, so that when they leave school, their time will not be spent in idleness. The heavens may be to them a study book, from which they may learn lessons of intense interest. The moon and the stars may be their companions, speaking to them in the most eloquent language of the love of God. God expects us to build characters in accordance with the pattern set before us. We are to lay brick by brick, adding grace to grace, finding our weak points and correcting them in accordance with the directions given. When a crack is seen in the walls of a mansion, we know that something about the building is wrong. In our character building, cracks are often seen. Unless these defects are remedied, the house will fall when the tempest of trial beats upon it. In the work of character building, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Then the building will grow in symmetrical proportions. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Keep looking to Jesus. Never seek for praise or self-glorification. Strive by watchfulness and prayer to build up a Christian character, perfect in all its parts. Remember that you are building for eternity. Be careful how you build. Day by day, we need to realize the necessity of being converted. Do not stand on the line of demarcation, trying to balance between Christ and the world. Keep in the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord. By beholding Jesus, you will become changed into His likeness. Your views will be enlarged. You will see the excellence of the truth as it is in Jesus. Your conceptions will be clearer. You will be imbued with the Spirit of God. You will not seek praise from men. You will exalt Christ, saying, He must increase, but I must decrease. We cannot afford to lose eternal life because we are not willing to separate from the world. Self must be hidden in Christ. Our sight must be filled with the view of His perfection. We must stand wholly on the Lord's side, remembering the word, We are laborers together with God. God desires us to learn in the school of Christ, to be meek and lowly in heart. Self is to be crucified with the affections and lusts. There is no second probation for fallen man. Heaven is not the place for overcoming defects in the character. God says to us now, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But let no one think that in his own strength he can leave off sinful practices and accustomed indulgences, and then, after he has made himself good, come to Jesus. Christ says, without me ye can do nothing. No man can, in his own strength, repent of and forsake his sin. It is God who leads him to repentance. All outward manifestations of repentance are vain unless God first works within. Then it is that man becomes a partaker of the divine nature. God and Christ work unitedly for the restoration of the divine image in man, furnishing him with power to distinguish between right and wrong. Acting as our high priest and intercessor, Christ prepared and presented to God the sacrifice which paid the ransom for sin. It is Christ who draws the sinner to God, who constrains him to acknowledge the Father's goodness and love. To those who represent the Father as a frowning judge, whose work it is to condemn and destroy, he says, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Christ has manifested himself as the way, the truth, and the life. Earnestly and untiringly, he seeks to save those who are lost. No one can return to the fold without the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Christ supplies all the opportunities and privileges, and unless the sinner responds to his overtures of mercy, laying hold of the promises, he cannot be saved. With every power given him, he must respond to God's working. He must accept all the help offered. He must believe and obey. He must make the most of every opportunity, working diligently and conscientiously. As he works thus, he becomes a partner in the heavenly firm. Daily he grows in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Our success in perfecting Christian characters will be proportionate to the zeal and earnestness with which we seek for godliness. Every soul who enters the gates of the city of God will be like Jesus. Being good and doing good are indispensable to the perfection of character. No man lives to himself. All who gain the precious boon of immortality will follow the example of Christ, who went about doing good, who cheerfully gave up his life to ransom those ready to perish.